Hey everyone, I am Reva and just want to take a moment and thank you for listening to our studio podcast. Although we are here in Greenville, South Carolina, we are grateful for your support to see the message of Jesus go out all over the world. In case you are not aware, we have a YouTube channel, which you can find the link in our podcast bio. We hope you enjoy this week's talk and it encourages you and it helps you to be the human God designed you to be. So with that, let's get right to it.
Well, we are in our third week of the Live Above the Noise series. I am curious, had anybody been here for the 2 weeks of the Live Above the Noise series? Okay, a chunk of you. The rest of you have been hitting and missing, and I want to encourage you, all of this is on the podcast. It's also on the YouTube, and we recognize some of you come every day, every week of the year, and some come once a month, and everyone's frequencies are different. And the reason I'm bringing that up is to simply say there's actually a series we're in the middle of. It's a 5-week series titled Live Above the Noise. I opened it up, Canada to the second week, and today is the third week. And we are seeking to grow in our understanding of the scriptures. We're seeking to strengthen our foundation. For those of you that are following Jesus, we're seeking to strengthen your foundation in the what, the why, the how, and the when it comes to your relationship with God. And we also want to learn to emulate the one, to emulate the life of Jesus, as he clearly was someone that lived above the noise. He lived above the circumstances. He lived above all the situation that he lived in, that he experienced, and that came at him. And I don't know about you, I'm not wanting to just avoid what's happening in the world. I'm wanting to learn how to live above the noise of the world. And Jesus is the one that demonstrates that. So this series is primarily focused on learning to emulate who Jesus is and to understand our foundation and to strengthen our foundation. And we've been primarily taking the whole series in the book of Ephesians. So that we're going to do week 3 today. I'm going to draw your attention to something Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9. He says this, he has made known to us the mystery of his will. He has made known to us the mystery of his will. This is in Ephesians 1, 9. Mystery is the second highest grossing genre in literature. The one that takes the top spot in preferred literature and books is romance. They actually said for mystery, 64% of the people they surveyed said they love it, and only 13% said they don't prefer it. What's interesting is these two genres, love and mystery, are indicative of some of the longing, deepest longings of the human soul. It's our desire to be loved and accepted. And we have this other part of us that we just call it's curious. It's that part that wants to know beyond what we currently know. It's the part in us that is just hardwired to kind of go, what past that point? It asks the questions why, it asks the questions what, it asks the questions how, and it asks the question when. Now, some of you are young parents in here, you've got 2-3-year-olds, and all they're asking is why, and it's driving you crazy. You're like, you don't need to know why. Just settle for life right now. But you're just having these conversations. I remember one time Candace is in the car with one of our daughters, and she is asking why, like, for an hour straight. And Candace said in her kind voice, said, honey, can you stop asking me questions? My head hurts right now. So if you're a parent right now and you have a young child asking, but God gave them that desire. He put it in you. He put this thing in you to want to be loved and accepted, but also have this desire to know what's beyond what we currently know. What's beyond the room that we live in? What's beyond the parameters of what we see, experience, and what we know? We are an amalgamation of desiring to be loved and to belong, and we have this insane desire to know what's in the mysterious parts of life. What's interesting about this, I believe we can be understood as humans by love and mystery. By love and mystery. When it comes to love, love is a fascinating topic, and we obviously live in a day and age where it's perverted, it's twisted, it's diluted, it's convoluted. And so for us as followers of Jesus, it's important that we are reminding ourselves what love really is and who is the source of love. And not just God who knows how to love, but God actually is the definition of that very word, love. But what's interesting about love is our shadow sides often get catalyzed when we don't feel loved or accepted. I don't know if you've had this experience. Have you noticed that you reject people first so you can beat them to it? I've noticed in all my years as a human, but even interacting with thousands of people, discipling, mentoring, counseling thousands of people over the years, and I've noticed that we get to this certain point in a dynamic in a relationship that if we can sense they're about to reject us or hurt us, what we naturally do is reject them first, because that way you can't reject me because I've already rejected you. That's the shadow side of being scared, of being fearful, is that someone is not going to accept you and love you, but they're going to reject you. So the shadow side of us often get catalyzed when we sense that love is disappearing. It's moving away from us. It's actually not loving us, but it's rejecting us. But the beauty side of us, we are the most alive when we are loved and accepted. We are the most beautiful human we can ever be when we have this deep sense that we are accepted, that we are loved, and that we are belong. I truly believe that love is what makes you beautiful. Love is what makes me beautiful. And this is the dynamic we have as humans, is we have this dynamic of love, and then we have mystery. There's other part of us that just is hardwired to know. We are just curious little creatures. We're trying to make sense of everything. We're trying to make sense of all of our experiences, all the different instances, circumstances. We are just so curious. And even if we're given advice to not do something, that little voice in us says, maybe not so. Someone gives you the greatest advice. They've lived life twice the time you've lived, and they say, I wouldn't do X, Y, or Z, and you're like, why not? And you do it, and then you find out, I'm going to share that same advice that someone shared with me, and I'm realizing my advice to people today is what someone told me 20 years ago, but I didn't listen to them. And yet, we see this in kids, but we actually see it in adults, too. You see, that's the curiosity part of us. That's the part of us that wants to understand, to experience it for ourselves. And we do love this mystery. And I believe all human advancement stemmed from this one attribute of being human, and that's curiosity. If we did not have curiosity, we would not be advancing as a human. We would not be moving as a human. We would not be exploring, innovating, pioneering. We wouldn't if we didn't have the... in something in us that wonders, what else is there? Is this possible? What if I did this? What if I put X and Y together instead of A and B? And what would happen if I did this? See, that thing inside of us is what makes us human. We're just so curious. This is the part of us that causes us to go outside of the parameters of what we know. But I think you might often see a correlation that your creativity is often limited to being accepted. Some of you might need to take an assessment of yourself right now and realize, is my creativity limited within the confines of being beloved and accepted? The challenge for people that create, which as Luke put it perfectly a moment ago, to be human is to create. The challenge is, can you create outside of the boundaries of being loved and accepted? Are you creating because you're trying to be loved and accepted? You see, the challenge for all of us is to actually go outside of the parameters of this tug of war of being loved, and yet we're curious about the mystery. We want to be loved and accepted, and then we also want to just be free from it all. I hope you are picking up on this reality. It's the tug of war of love and mystery. We have such a deep longing, and we will go to the ends of the earth for someone to say, I love you, I accept you. We will do the most bizarre thing to try to remedy, mitigate this emptiness within us. But yet at the same time, we also want to go outside of the bounds of it because we're so curious. What I want you to understand, love and mystery are two major driving forces in your life, and it is designed to be a tug of war. One common denominator that ties you to every human being that has ever lived and walked this earth revolves around questions that sound like this. Why do I feel empty? Why do I feel dead? Why do I exist? Who am I? Those are questions that tie us all to all of humanity that has ever lived and who is living right now. You're sitting next to people that ask the same question. What is going on deep inside of me? And that's the beauty of humanity, is we actually have a common denominator, and even after thousands and thousands of years, however long humanity has been around, it is still trying to remedy the empty soul, that feeling of void. And we turn to all kinds of things in our life to try to fill that. And what we learn as humans is that we turn to one thing here and it works for a week. It works for 2 weeks. And oftentimes I see people start a different lifestyle, whether it's turning to different things, whether it's friendships or if it's alcohol or if it's drugs or if it's pornography. I mean, the list is just endless. And it seems to help for a week, like, oh, I feel better now. I feel like, oh, this is meeting my need. But what we learn, there's a time expiration date on that very thing. And all of a sudden, 6 months later, you're back to this reality of like, why do I feel empty? I thought that was the solution. It helped me, but now it's not working anymore until we find something else, until we spend our lives trying to fill this emptiness, this void of like, I just want to be loved and accepted. And at the same time, I want to explore the vastness of what's out there. And this is the conundrum. This is the dilemma that we have in being human. And Paul is addressing this in Ephesians. He is hitting it on every level, and he sums it up in Ephesians 1:9. The mystery has been revealed. So the mystery of love and mystery, the tension there, Paul is saying, I have been revealed what God has actually meant to do for the beginning of time. And as you know, we've been diving into the book of Ephesians, and I want to recap quickly to make sure you understand the context that Paul is writing to, because if you can understand the context he was writing to, then it's a much better application personally. And sometimes when you skip the context, you misapply, it's not deep, it's shallow. And we are taking our time to some degree going through the context of Ephesians. Ephesians was a word that was used to write about believers in an area called Ephesus. And Paul is writing this letter from prison while he's in prison in Rome, and he's writing this letter, and which is considered to be one of the most beautiful letters, if not most prolific letters he's ever written. And some would say it's one of the most prolific pieces of literature ever written by any human being. It's in this book. The articulation, the understanding, the revelation, the layout of it is remarkable. And Paul is writing to a group of people that are in the third largest city in the ancient world behind Rome and Athens. Some say about 250,000 people were there, potentially more. It was the gateway to Asia. In fact, anything in that part of the world, the distance to Ephesus is how they measured everything. So if you were 50 miles, it meant you were 50 miles from Ephesus. If you were 18 miles, it meant you were 18 miles from Ephesus. So Ephesus was a major center. It was a melting pot of culture and ideas. It was a melting pot of ethnic diversity. It was a melting pot for religion and spirituality. This was a dynamic, diverse, important city. Within this city, there were so many different types of worship and religion. There was cult, including emperor worship. So you had a diverse city ethnically, you had a diverse city religiously and spiritually, and you had a diverse city when it came to creativity and ideas and thoughts. It was a city that accepted it and embraced it. However, in that situation, the one religion that was not accepted, now mind you, it was only 2 or 3 decades old, called Christianity. Jesus had passed about 20, 30 years prior, and so Paul is writing into a context that Christianity was the new religion on the scene. It was the new kid on the block. And even in an ethnic, diverse, religious, spiritual, creative, diverse city, it was the one religion, one belief that was rejected, was not even accepted. So if you were a believer in Ephesus, you were not even just a minority, you were completely rejected. So when Paul says things like, you are chosen, he is reaching into the depth of who they are, saying, oh no, they've all rejected you, but God has chosen you. This is the rhetoric. This is the language that Paul's trying to get across. And not only were they rejected by the secular pagan context, they were also rejected by their Jewish brethren. The synagogue were places of worship and community centers for the Jewish community. They rejected Christianity. So imagine living in this city. Imagine being marginalized, looked upon, rejected, dejected, and you're trying to find out, how do I follow this Jesus? How do I do this in this context? We saw him do it, but how do I do it? And so this is the context. I want you to put yourself in a world where you are told the color of your skin, your ethnic background, your cultural background, your family line determined if you can be close to God or not close to God. It determined if God will accept you or not accept you. It determined if God has a plan for you or doesn't have a plan for you, simply because of your ethnic diversity, your culture, and your background. Imagine being in a world where that was the norm. Bummer for you, because you come from that lineage, guess what? God has no plan for you. He doesn't love you. He won't choose you. That is the temperature of this spiritual climate. And yet you're told Jesus died for all sins. Imagine wrestling with this. Imagine living in that world, in that context. I want you to put yourself in a world where there were no remedies to longing to be loved. So that sense deep in you, like, I want to be loved and accepted. I want you to take a moment, put yourself in a world, there's no remedy for that. You've tried it all. You've seen your Jewish counterparts, they are feeling deeply loved and accepted by God, but that is not an option for you. Imagine living in a world, there's no solution for the ache in your soul to be loved and accepted because of your ethnicity, your family line, and your background. This is the context that Paul writes. If you have your Bibles, I want you to open up to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 12. And we're going to read some scripture together. And I want to just take you through what Paul is unveiling and what he said is the greatest mystery has been revealed. So Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 12. As you're turning there, in verse 11, Paul specifically said, I'm writing this to the Gentiles. Now, just to get everybody up to the same speed, the word Gentiles means anyone that is not a Jew. So in this room, if you don't come from a Jewish descent, you would be considered a Gentile. So Paul is writing this next passage of scripture to that group. And that's what I want to read this morning. Verse 12, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. Let's stop right here. Remember, put yourself in the context that there is no remedy for the ache in your soul. There's no solution. And Paul says he's hitting two fronts. He's hitting a political affiliation, a national citizenship, as well as a human soul longing for something to fill it. He's saying there was a time where none of that was an option for you. And that's why it's now been revealed. He's trying to communicate to them, listen, there was a time where you weren't allowed in. You were belonged on the outside. There was a time for this. Let's go to verse 13. But now, everybody say, but now. Say it with even more passion. But now, in Christ Jesus, you were once were far away, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who had made two groups one and destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. I want you to stop right here. What he's saying, listen, Jesus, because of the death and the resurrection of Jesus, what was always been two groups, which is the Jews and the Gentiles. Humanity was broken up into two groups, and Paul said, because he died and because he is our peace and because of his blood, there's no longer two groups. It is now one. There's no barrier, nothing. It doesn't matter your ethnic background. It doesn't matter your cultural background. It doesn't matter about your upbringing, what lineage you come from, if you're half this or quarter this or 5% this. It doesn't matter anymore. because Jesus removed all barriers between all of humanity to become one. And this is the power of this mystery. Verse 15, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulation, his purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. And in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Verse 19, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. Let's stop right here. This language is so dynamic and so powerful. When you've been told your whole life and your entire family lineage for generations that you will never be a citizen, you will always be a foreigner, and you will always be an alien. You will never be accepted. And all of a sudden, Paul is writing this letter and said, guess what? All of that has changed. You are now accepted. You are now a citizen. You're no longer foreigners and strangers. You are no longer an immigrant. You actually are now within what God had in mind. Now, there's interesting dynamics happening here. When you're on the outside, you love it when someone accepts you. But the other dynamic is now the Jewish community have to get used to the new equation. They're like, wait a second. Wait. We are the blessed nation. We are the blessed people. And this is why some of the conversations around you need to get circumcised. Like, those are things that you need to do because that's how we got our, quote, citizenship. That's how we got our blessing from God. So imagine the tension in Scripture now. Now you have these two people group that were accustomed to being separate. And now they're brought together to realize, oh, there's nothing that separates us anymore. We are one and the same. Now, it's great if you've been brought in. You're like, finally, thank you. I'm now adopted. I'm now loved. But when you're part of the in group and a whole bunch of outsiders come in, at some point, it rubs you wrong. Like, wait, they've done nothing. And that's the point. They've done nothing. That's the beauty and the power of grace. This is the dynamic I want you to understand. You might be asking today, how did this happen? Like, why wasn't this the norm before? And I believe you can actually find it in the story of the Holy Spirit between Acts chapter 2 to Acts chapter 15. And Acts 2 is when the Holy Spirit showed up on the day of what we call the day of Pentecost. When the Holy Spirit fell upon the group of people, you jump ahead 10 years later, and you start hearing stories of Gentiles are experiencing the Holy Spirit the same way the Jewish people were experiencing the Holy Spirit. And this created a theological conundrum for the early church leaders. They're like, wait a second here. You are supposed to be a Jew if the Holy Spirit comes on you, but now we're seeing the Holy Spirit come on people that are not Jews. They couldn't reconcile it. It created so much tension, it almost split the church in that day. So by the time you get to Acts 15, you have them now saying, we have to reconcile this. And they wrote a letter in Acts 15 to all of the early church saying, listen, we were wrong. What we thought was supposed to be divided is now meant to become one. So when Paul is writing this letter, he's writing from a 20, 30-year journey of the church leaders, the apostles and the disciples going, oh, God had something else in mind. Now, I understand the challenge for us is you're like, well, we're 2,000 years after this revelation. We're like, it's kind of the new norm. But I want you to understand something. Anything in your mind, anything in your soul that separates you from his love and acceptance, he took care of it. Anything. You may not be here today thinking, oh, because I'm this ethnicity, Jesus doesn't love me. You're like, you're past that. You've gone past that. But maybe it's the story that you've created about yourself. Maybe it's the thing you say, Eric, you don't know my story. You don't know the pain, the agony, the trauma that I've gone through. You don't understand what I've done in my life. No one would love me. And you've created this story and you've created this narrative, you created this barrier that separates you from God. Some of you are sitting here today and you have told yourself, God can't love me. This was what Paul was addressing here. God can't love you is a lie. That's why he's writing these letters. Guys, the mystery's been revealed. Every barrier, every gap, every chasm, every canyon between you and the love of God has been dealt with because he made two into one. So you might not wrestle with the ethnic background. You might not wrestle with the cultural background or the family line background, but maybe you wrestle with the story in your head. Maybe you've come up with all the reasons why God can't love you and accept you. I'm here, standing here today. Paul addresses this thousands of years ago, said the greatest mystery had been revealed. Anything that separates you from God, anything, guess what? Taken care of. His love is pursuing you. His love is coming after you. You can run as fast as you want, but at some point it will catch up to you. It will violently crash into your world. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling place in which God lives by his Spirit. Now go to Ephesians chapter 3. There's two more verses I want to read to you. Verse 5. Which was not made known to people in other generations, but it had now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. And this is why Paul said, it has now been revealed to us. And now we're writing a letter to tell you. Verse 6, this mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel. Now, it's so hard to connect with what is happening here because it's so far removed from anything in our framework. That your nationality was connected to being God's people. And this is what Paul is saying. Oh, this script is being rewritten. And the script is, when you put your faith in Jesus, you are now his heirs. You are now his sons, and you are now his daughters. We're heirs together with Israel, members together of the first of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. The greatest mystery revealed, solved and remedied and mitigated all the longing to be loved and accepted. Paul introduces there is a pathway to God for all of humanity. Love solved the greatest mystery of the human soul. It paves the way for the entirety of humanity. What never could be joined can now become one through Jesus. So in week one, we covered we are chosen, recognizing that we are chosen even when the entire world is set up against you. Guess what? You're still chosen. It's one of the most powerful paradigms to live from. Oh, God chose me before I chose him. No matter what happens in my world, no matter what happened to the next week in our country, and no matter what happened to the next 20 years on the planet, guess what? You are chosen. That's what we covered in week one. In week two, Candace brought our attention to the reality that Jesus is the center of it all. Everything comes from him and everything is about him, reminding us that Jesus is the center of it all. Today, I want to address God is for all of humanity in every ethnicity, every culture, every background, and every story. Perhaps the story you have is you're outside looking in. Some of you come here on Sundays, or some of you are part of other things that we do, and some of you are part of other spiritual communities, and you watch people, you see them beautiful because they're loved and accepted. They're living their life from that place like, I am loved and I am accepted by God and by the people in my life. And you watch them and you can't comprehend, you can't even imagine that that is your future because you have a story that says the opposite. Today, I want to challenge you. If you have a story that puts you on the outside looking in, guess what? Jesus removed the barriers. You're the one that now has to let go of those barriers. So today's challenge for every one of us in this room, there is no story his love can't redeem and can't restore. There is not one story in all of humanity from the beginning of time to this moment where there's 8 billion people on the planet, so that means there's 8 billion narratives. There's not one of them that God can't redeem, can't heal, can't rewrite, can't flip the script. There's not one. Not one. And this is the result of the greatest mystery being revealed. This is it right here. There's not one sickness. There's not one disease. There's not one impossible situation that God cannot redeem and restore and heal. And this is what I want you to get today. This is what I want you to get deep in your soul, that God is the one that redeems and restores. He takes what was split and makes it into one. So he wants to take you, a divided individual, and make you whole and make you one. Why don't you stand?
Thanks for listening to today's talk. If you're interested in learning more about Studio here in Greenville, you can go check out our website, studiogreenville.com, and you can give us a follow on Instagram. Our handle is studio.greenville. Have a great week.